So Shane, it looks like Islander fans are going to get an early Christmas present as the Belmont train seems to be rolling into town.
Does that mean we all have to buy racing horses? And we're back here on the Secondary Assist Podcast. Shane Blackburn, Andy Graziano. You can find me on Twitter at sblackburn26, him on Twitter at andygraz_sny. And Andy, as you said in that fun little cold open that we got going on, Islanders might get a, Islander fans at least, might get an early Christmas gift. Or a late Hanukkah gift, right? We already passed Hanukkah, or we're in the middle of it?
Well, what do we got? We got Christmas, we got Hanukkah, we got Kwanzaa, we got, you know what, who cares? It's the holidays, and whatever holiday you choose to celebrate, it looks like you're going to get a nice new shiny arena under your tree, or I don't even know, or under the menorah, or I don't know, again, whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, I said 2 months ago when the Islanders submitted their RFP that I thought it was a done deal back then. I thought the fix was in. Obviously, what was it, the Blumenfeld group was the group that dropped out. They obviously agreed with me. It was fixed. NYCFC was never a serious challenger for me because they never wanted it in the first place. That was never their number one selection. I think they're looking at five or six other sites in addition to Belmont. So it really was the Islanders up against themselves. And I think that the comments we heard from John Ledecky regarding no plan B and Belmont, you're just not that confident if you don't know what's in the bag, in my opinion. And so I think Wednesday at 11 o'clock, Islander fans will get the news that they've been craving. You know, unfortunately, it comes sandwiched with a little bit of bad news, as it looks like Calvin DeHaan's going to be out for a really long time. And in a contract year, it's just not good news for Cal.
Was it the same shoulder that he's been having the issues with, or is it the other shoulder? Like, because he's had shoulder injuries before.
It's funny, you know, he had shoulder surgery and injuries on his left shoulder when he was with Oshawa and then his first year with the Islanders. And it looked to me, from the looks of it the other day, it looked to me like when he broke up that two-on-one and forced Tyler Toffoli wide, that Toffoli then inadvertently fell on DeHaan's extended arm. It looked to be the right one. But I was told today that it is indeed the same one he's been having problems with, the left one. So
that's interesting.
Left, right, it doesn't matter. It's either a re-aggravation of an old injury or it's a new aggravation, which gives him two bad shoulders. We're thinking right now torn labrum type injury. He went for his first opinion today. Did not really like what he heard from the doctor. Didn't really get much clarity. So he's going to go back for a second opinion before deciding on the best course of action. You know, rehab, you're looking at 4 to 6 weeks minimum, and then the hope that it doesn't re-injure. Surgery, you're looking at putting him out for the year. And again, with him being a free agent next summer, it's not good news for Cal. It's going to cost him not only on the ice, it's not only going to cost his team due to his absence.
It's going to cost his wallet, too.
It's going to cost him in the wallet, too. So it's unfortunate news for Cal. He's a great guy. Plays his heart out. He's been playing much, much better since his early season struggles when he was kind of gripping the stick too hard, as they say, for forwards. I don't know what the equivalent of that is for a defenseman, but he settled down. He's been playing real solid hockey. You know, he's a 20-minute a guy night. He's a minute eater. He's a shot blocker. And make no mistake, like him or hate him, as a fan, whether you do or don't, he's going to be missed. His presence will be missed in the lineup.
And while we're at it, I like now that we've been filtering Twitter questions in earlier in the show. Jack Fenty at Jack_in_box asks us, what does the team do if DeHaan is out for the season? Yep. I'm thinking call up a young guy, and if any of those guys are not ready, make the trade. I don't know if I could say right now. I don't know if any of those guys in Bridgeport already, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, Sebastian Aho or Devin Taves. I think we also talked about that on the last week's podcast that never made it to the interwebs.
For whatever reason, I'm not going to even go there. But
but I don't know if either of them are ready to step in and take a big role. I mean, Calvin DeHaan, as much as he struggled in the beginning of the season, he's been playing a big role on the Islanders' lack of defense, we'll call it, the past couple of games. I mean, you still have Seidenberg, you still have Hickey, so it's not like we have nobody on the active roster. Right, I get that, but it's not like there's nobody on the active roster. It's not like they have to bring somebody in right this minute or we're going to be playing with five defensemen. There are defensemen still on the active roster. Do we want to put them in the lineup? No. Are they there? Yes. Is Nick Leddy's ice time going to go up now? Yes.
Well, look, that's why Doug Weight was carrying eight into the season. One reason was obviously because of waivers. They couldn't afford to waive anybody without them getting taken in the expansion draft. Another reason was to keep his defenseman fresh, right? We saw him rotating those last two guys in and out of the lineup. He was rotating those four guys into two spots for a while to kind of keep them fresh, and they were hoping to avoid injuries, which they have so far this year to this point, pretty successfully. But I think, you know, with the Waite did mention Aho and Toews this morning after the Islanders practice. But again, you're not – look, they're just at the point now where they're playing Ryan Pulock 15 minutes a night. Devin Toews isn't going to come in and eat up 21 minutes.
Right.
And Sebastian Aho is not going to come in and eat up 21 minutes. So I think they're going to go with the seven now that they have, with Thomas Hickey's just about ready. I don't – Doug Weight doesn't think he'll play tomorrow night, but he should be ready for Thursday against Anaheim. So he's pretty much day-to-day at this point.
We'll see Seidenberg back in the
lineup. Right, and then you'll have one scratch instead of two on a nightly basis, which will likely be more often than not Seidenberg more often. You know, you'll likely see now a regular role carved out for Ryan Pulock. You'll see – probably a more regular role carved out for Scott Mayfield as well, which is deserving.
Pulock has had that regular role, which blew my mind because I thought Mayfield was better.
Right. Pulock is the golden child on the blue line right now, so you'll probably see the rotation of that last scratch between Thomas Hickey and Dennis Seidenberg going forward. Trades, as far as trades go, to answer Jack's question, look, right now there's going to be nothing done. Let's face it. I said this last week. the trade market around this time of year is always quiet. You have the freeze coming into effect in a couple of days. You're not going to see any trading go on right now. And even post that, you're not going to get a 20-minute guy who's going to block shots and play sound defensively. Those guys aren't just given away. I say it all the time. You know, teams value those types of guys. And so a trade's going to be very difficult to get, especially if they do. If we're able to confirm after Calvin gets his second opinion, what his course of action is. You know, I think that from what I got today, they're leaning. He's got a couple of people in his ear chirping about the surgery aspect, thinking that he can come back completely healthy, still sign a decent contract next summer and be ready for training camp. But we'll see what he decides. It's going to ultimately be up to Calvin and his agent to determine, you know, the pluses and minuses of both options.
And anyone who has a real difference maker on the blue line that they're willing to trade is going to be looking for Matt Barzal.
Yeah, it depends on the guy. I mean, I think if we're talking, you know, if we're in fantasy land and
I'm thinking Carlson and Ekman, right. And Ekman Larson, because that's what everybody on Twitter wants.
I think those guys, not Carlson, I think Ekman Larson probably more so is obtainable without Barzal in a bigger package, but
it's going to be a big package.
It's not going to happen now. If anything, Arizona's going to hold on to him until closer to the deadline when they can maximize his value. They're not going to give away Oliver Ekman Larson for anything in January when they can hold on to him until the trade deadline and prices go, you know, they skyrocket.
And 2.5 months from now, get a significantly better package for him.
Right. It's not going to happen. So
I mean, the Islanders finally have the assets to make these moves. The question is, are they the assets that the teams moving these defensemen are looking for? Obviously,
right,
Gartsnow already showed he's not going to budge on Barzal, and quite frankly, he shouldn't budge on Barzal.
Nope.
Hosang, I think, has played himself out of a lot of value in the trade market. Dal Cole.
I think there's value there.
Dal Cole has lost a lot of value in the AHL.
He has.
Beauvillier, I think, still has some value, but less than Hosang.
I think your guys of value are like Beauvillier's got value. I think Hosang's got value. I think Brock Nelson has value. Dal Cole, at this point, you're right, probably a throw-in unless he makes a tremendous about face on his production in Bridgeport.
What about Bellows? Is Bellows impressing enough in junior to be a thrower?
Very, very well. I don't think they're looking to move him right now. I think they like what they're seeing from him. But again, you just said it perfectly. There's got to be somebody on the other end. You know, trades aren't one-sided. It's right. Not go on your PS4 and hit the X button and you're done. It's got to be someone on the other end, and it's got to be a match. And that's a lot easier said than done. So I think kind of what we're seeing with the Calvin DeHaan and defense situation is kind of like what we've been saying about the goaltending. It's kind of what you see is what you get for now.
Well, the Islanders are going to have to make up about just under 19 minutes of ice time from DeHaan. DeHaan's averaging 18:45. So you figure the pairs that are already playing, you can add, where's Letty? Letty's at 22 minutes. So you can add maybe 2 minutes to that.
Man, he'll go to 23 or 24. Boychuk will go up a minute or two.
So that's now you're looking at 15 more minutes you need to make up.
Pulick will go from 15 to 17 probably.
Yeah, you bring in Seidenberg, he's going to do maybe 11.
And fortunately, Pulick's been playing a lot better, especially in his own zone, Shane. I think you've been mentioning it for a couple of shows in a row now, how he's impressed you with his defensive play. Not impressed you, but it's been better than you expected defensively. And I pretty much echo that. And he's even starting to find a little more of his mojo on the offensive end, right? We saw him make two nice plays over the last week and a half that both directly led to goals. So still think he needs to shoot more, but...
Well, while we're on it, can we just talk about that the third goal in the Islanders-Kings game?
We can talk about whatever you want, pal. Whatever you want.
The third
you
goal...
You are the engine that drives this bus.
The third goal in the Islanders-Kings game, I was talking to my dad about it.
Which one? The third goal for the Islanders? Oh my God, was that not phenomenal?
I don't think people understand how hard that actually is.
My goodness.
Because he makes it look so easy.
The awareness, Shane. Like, I wrote a column, coincidentally, or maybe not coincidentally, on Saturday afternoon about Anders Lee and his ascension to where I discussed the fact that when you're talking about the premier power forwards in the National Hockey League, you better start including Anders Lee's name. And I wrote that Saturday afternoon, and then Saturday night he pulls off that, to me, ridiculous play. And like you just said it so perfectly, it looks so simple, but it was so difficult. And the awareness, to have the awareness to what is back to the net. You know, a lot of guys would just try like a jam shot under the pad or try to just, you know, maybe force a rebound and just keep whacking away at it and try to will it into the net. I mean, that was just awareness, finesse, and pure skill to just roof it like that. Very impressive.
And I think the best part of that is that if you watch the patience, he waits for the poke check to come. Mm-hmm. Yep. He doesn't even, like, it's not even just the awareness that he knew to go straight up. It's the awareness that he knew to go straight up, but waited for Kemper to try for the poke check and then went straight up with the puck.
Amazing. Just an amazing goal. He's at 20 goals on the year now. The Islanders have two guys on 50-goal paces, Lee and Tavares. They have two guys on 100-point paces, Tavares and Joshua Bailey, who ridiculously is now at 40 points. I tweeted this out the other day, Shane. Josh Bailey has the same amount of points, and I'm not comparing him one for one, so just stop, everyone. But the fact is that Josh Bailey has 40 points, which is the same amount of points as Connor McDavid, only three less than Steven Stamkos.
And the same as Tavares.
The Islanders and Lightning have four of the top five scorers in the National Hockey League.
And I don't know if you guys, well, you were at the game, so I don't know, you weren't. You were at your wife's Christmas party, right?
I was at a Christmas party. I'm going to my wife's real Christmas party on Thursday.
Okay, so on the broadcast, Lee's 20th is the first. He's the first Islander since Palfi in 96-97 to have 20 by Christmas.
I saw that from Eric Hornick on Sunday.
And Tavares,
I actually got lucky to end up, I was at the party and I turned on the last 5 minutes in the overtime. And I was watching it with a Ranger fan.
And Tavares has 19.
And my friend Charlie in overtime was gushing at the Barzal pass to Eberle. Gushing. He's one of the good Ranger fans, my friend Chuck. And he was like, oh my God, Andy, that was a freaking pass and a half. He goes, I can't believe that kid. He goes, how old is that kid again? He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe the pass.
But the Islanders have three games to go before Christmas, before where the they break. Could potentially yep. have two people with 20 goals by Christmas.
Right.
Which, who knows when the last time that happened was, if the last time one person had it was 96-97. Probably the Dynasty era was the last time they've had two.
Yeah, what did, and then Bailey, like I said, last year he set his career high with, what, 56 points, I believe?
And he's 16 off of that. We're not even
he's got
when,
40
we're
by,
not
Christmas,
even halfway
by not even Christmas yet.
Yeah, we're not even halfway through.
Crazy.
We're at the 33
absolutely
game
crazy.
Mark. It's absolutely incredible.
And I actually looked something up today, too. I don't know if you remember. I may put this out at some point just to kind of quiet some people up. But back in February, I looked this up today. I wrote a piece called The Inconceivable Fear of Josh Bailey's Success. It was the title of my column was exactly that. And it was about people just not giving this guy credit and for some reason being afraid of him being successful. And, you know, as I was rereading that column today and a couple of the comments that Josh made to me in relation to that, you know, he's such an even-keeled kind of down, you know, low-down guy. He's like, you know what? He's like, you know, the fans can think whatever they want to think. That's their right. He goes, you know, I just go out there and I try to do what I work so hard and what I'm trained to do. And he goes, he admitted he's more of a setup guy than a shooter. Obviously, we all know that.
Right.
But again, I think it's just people continue to put this guy down. The new excuse now is that, oh, he's only doing this because he's in his contract year. Well, how do you explain last year then?
Because he was going right? into his contract year.
Because he was going into his contract year, right. And then the thing then somebody tweeted at me, oh, the next thing's going to be that he only scores in losses because he had a hat trick in the loss to Columbus.
What is he? They, people going to suck on him the A-Rod of the of
Yeah,
the
somebody
Islanders.
Tweeted at me, oh, now the next complaint's going to be he only scores in losses. Like, it's like, can't you just be happy for the guy and just give the guy credit and enjoy the ride? Can't you just do that? The reality is, and going back to my original point of that column I wrote back in February, is John Tavares asked for Josh Bailey to be put on his line. He didn't ask for Andres Lee. The Islanders got just lucky with that Tavares-Lee-Bailey combo and the chemistry that they've been able to forge and be so successful. But John Tavares wanted Josh Bailey on his line.
That should be all you need to know.
That's it. Done.
Now, Josh Bailey has been a key part of the Islanders' success, but something I wanted to get into success-wise is, since when for the Islanders has November been the good month and December been the bad month?
Yeah.
Well. Islanders go 8-4 through the month of November, 3-6 so far through the month of December with 6 games to go in the month, and they're 3-6. December's usually the month where they give us hope that they can come back after an awful November, but this year it's been a much better. I mean, they're 15-7-2 at the end of November, and where we stand now on December 18th, they're 18-12-3.
But we talked about that, right? We warned of this. I'm not going to sit here and toot our own horn, but toot. We warned of a potential regression coming. We saw that the analytics and the shooting percentage and some of the stats were off, right? They were a little on the puck luck side. They were high on the PDO side as well. We saw kind of a potential regression coming, and that's exactly what they're going through right now. But the points that they banked in that hot start, were they 15-7-2 at some point or something like that?
Yeah, 15-7-2 at the end of the month.
Right, so that leads them to be able to make these withdrawals when they go through. That's what I like. I call it putting points in the bank and then being able to withdraw when you're going through this kind of regression.
Problem is they have to. They're running out of balance in that bank account.
Right. It's going to start getting into overdraft status soon.
Yes.
Right. I mean, but all teams, this happens to all teams. You don't see a team often like the Lightning are doing this year, or the run that the Predators have been on, right? I think the Predators are like 16-3-2 in their last 21 or something like that. You know, you don't often see runs like that, and you don't often see runs like that over a full season with consistency. Teams always generally at some point will hit a wall, but it's those early season points that make all the difference at the end of the day.
Well, the only person right now still performing at an outlier level, I think, is Lee, because he's the only one with a high still shooting percentage. But I think you're going to see Lee's shooting percentage stay high, because he's not the kind of guy who's going to take these ridiculous shots from the top of the circle coming in. He's your guy that's going to stand in front of the net, and when he shoots, it's going in because he's banging home a rebound.
Well, that's what it, right, exactly.
So a guy like him, his shooting percentage stays high because he takes less shots.
Because his shots are very high percentage shots.
Right, exactly.
He's not shooting from the outside. He's not coming over the blue line and ripping one from the top of the circle.
He's standing in front of the net and waiting for Darcy Kemper to dive for the puck and then going up top.
Because he's the only one that stands in front of the net. Let's make that clear, too.
Although...
Him and maybe Ladd.
Although...
Although...
Josh Bailey with the tip-in goal against LA.
Oh, was that not a beaut?
So my
was
dad,
that not a beaut?
My dad was at the game. He gets home and he goes, well, that went off his leg, didn't it? And I was like, no shot. I was like, he pulled his hands up and in.
Why
and
was
went
your dad
nothing but stick.
And not you?
Because my mom and my dad have a plan and they go to games. I go with them sometimes when one of them doesn't want to go, but I get left out.
Ah, you get left out. You're the forgotten child. I see.
Yeah, and
see.
And I'm an only child, so
wow.
See how that goes.
You're an only you're a forgotten only child. That's
yep.
bad.
Yeah, show,
you need to talk
shows
to
how much
about
they
that.
Care about me, huh?
Well, luckily for you, the Secondary Podcast has a really good medical plan that covers psychiatric treatment, so.
Imagine we made any money on this. I feel see this
no,
is when I wish
imagine.
We had a, this
no.
is when I wish we had a Patreon because I could have just like directed everyone to Patreon.
No goddamn sponsors or nothing. We suck.
I feel like we yell at the fans too much though for people to donate money to us.
We suck. Not donating money. Like even getting like a legit sponsor. It's, you know shit. We suck.
Well, we gotta wait and see if they move to Belmont. Well, the first thing we'll do is we'll go contact some of these Belmont area like bars and stuff and be like, yo. Sponsor and we'll send people to you.
Yeah, good luck with that.
The whole 7 people who listen to our podcast.
More than 7, isn't it? 7?
I don't know. Our downloads have been pretty good, I think. I don't want to put numbers out there because we're probably getting crushed by aisle seat, but...
Wow, 7? Well, come on. I mean...
No,
Comp has forged a 20-year career at the National Hockey League. He works for the... You know, obviously, the guy... He's not only professional in what he does and is a good friend of mine, but he does great work and he's got tons and tons of NHL.com connections. So good for them. It's a great show. I'm not going to say it's not. It's a terrific show, actually.
Right,
you know what? I'm at the age now, Shane, where I'm not in the mood for competing with anybody.
Well, hell no. First of all,
we do our own thing. I enjoy talking Isles hockey with you. I enjoy putting things out there for the fans. I'm not into competing with
Plus,
anybody.
Plus, the way I look at it is there could never be enough Islanders content.
Right.
Because we might
go.
Touch on something they don't, and they might touch on something we don't.
Look,
and now you can
listen
to both.
Right. I talked about this the other night about, you know, there was a tweet put out by someone about comparing, like, oh, this is the attendance for the last 3 nights at Barclays, and it's not a professional rink. The Coliseum isn't either, but neither is Barclays. And I'm like, why are we still banging on that drum? We know that Barclays isn't perfect, isn't even good. It's technically for hockey. We know that. We know it's a pain in the ass for Long Islanders to get out to Brooklyn. We know that. Okay? So why do we got to keep banging on this attendance drum like the Islanders weren't playing to 80-85% capacity for 2 decades at the Coliseum?
Right.
And their attendance only took an uptick the last 2 years when people were saying goodbye to the place.
And because they were playing well and winning again.
So let's not – the Islanders are a passionate, loyal fan base. But they're a small fan base, and they're an isolated fan base, okay? They were never going to get control of the metro area where it's pretty much all Rangers, right? They're not going to grab that section of North Jersey, even Central and Southern Jersey, that are Devils. And then as you start getting into the Flyers, right, down near the Philly area,
right,
you're not going to get a share of those fans at this point. You're just not going to get it. So the Islanders are... a passionate, loyal, but isolated fan base. That's not a bad thing.
And if they win the Belmont bid, that should help with the Long Island-based fans.
Well, it's going to bring them back, but they're still going to draw 10,000 on a Tuesday against Arizona.
Right.
Come on, people. Stop. Just stop. You're going to get nobody from the city or Jersey, I'll tell you that right now. It's because, again, you're not making it out to Belmont on a weeknight. On the Staten Island Expressway, the Verrazano Bridge, and the Bell Parkway, it's not happening, right? Even especially if you work a day job, you're even from the city, you gotta pray that the freaking LIRR is even the car you're in's got all 4 wheels on it, right? Arguably the worst train service in the history of train service. I mean, I think the first goddamn railroad they ever built was probably better than the current LIRR. To be honest with you.
Thank God I don't take that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to go to so few games if they go to Belmont, though. It sucks for me. But, it, I mean, it's good for the majority of the fan base. I get
absolutely
it. It just sucks for
it
me.
Is. And good for them. Good for them. But for you, it sucks. For me, it sucks.
I sat so quiet during the Barclays move because everyone was like, oh, getting there is going to suck. And I was like, this is amazing.
All these people, with all due respect, that cried when the Islanders went to Brooklyn about how they were being left alone. Now you got to kind of give it back. You got to kind of feel sympathetic now to the people that are, again, being left alone, right? The true Islander fans.
The percentages
are
so skewed towards the
exactly.
people in
and
Long
that's
Island. That's why, like, it's as good. It's good for the majority of the fan base.
It
so,
sure
so
is.
I'm fine
and
with
they,
it. It
and,
just,
and
it just
you know
sucks
what?
For
they
me.
They deserve it. They deserve it.
I'm
and
selfish,
good for them.
So I'm going to complain.
Right. Exactly. And that's just human nature. It's human nature to say, well, this sucks for me.
Well,
it's
let's
just human nature.
Oh, so let's get into I thought Staple just tweeted this out. I didn't realize I haven't been on Twitter all day about DeHaan going on IR and Hickey coming off.
Yeah,
and I clearly wasn't paying attention to you talking earlier.
Well, you weren't paying attention because, you know, I basically tweeted it out too, but apparently
I don't look on Twitter during if it's not a game day, I try
fine.
And
that's
stay
fine. That's fine. That's good. No. That's fine. That's fine.
Twitter is a cesspool.
Just totally discount my credentials, my
No. Twitter is a cesspool.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Listen.
That's fine.
Listen.
No, it's good.
My
it's
days
good.
Off are Sunday and Monday, and if there's
that's
no
good.
Islander game, bet your ass I am not on Twitter.
No, it's fine. I got a PHWA card for nothing. That's fine. No big deal.
Do you get
that's
a
fine.
Vote now on the awards?
I do, actually.
So you got to vote Secondary Assist Podcast as best Islanders media outlet?
Yeah, I actually do. I think we get the ballot right before the playoffs start.
If you don't vote Josh Bailey for the Hart Trophy, I'm taking away your credentials.
Yeah, we vote on the NHL Awards. We also vote on the Islander Good Guy Award that Arthur presents to the best media guy of on the team, which for years was Matt Martin.
Who is it now?
I don't know who it's going to be this year, to be honest.
John Tavares?
With you. I've always kind of leaned toward Johnny Boychuk just because he's so goddamn entertaining to talk to, and he's always got a good line for you. But Thomas Hickey's great, like I've said before, very intelligent, very articulate.
Rare for a hockey player.
Josh Bailey is fantastic with the media. Hosang's obviously the most eccentric, but it's pretty much probably among those guys are in the top portion.
All right, so let's get
the
into
the funniest
some...
guy to talk to is Kuhlman. If you, oh my God,
has
I
he
can't
been around?
What the hell he's saying? No, he hasn't been around. But before he got injured, I remember I was in the locker room and we were doing post game, and I think I was talking to Josh, and I was finishing up with Josh, and the Islanders PR guy comes over to me and he goes, you know, if you want, Cooley's available. And I looked at the guy and I looked at the Islanders PR guy. And I'm like, to be honest, and I whispered real soft. I'm like, to be honest, I don't even know what the hell I'm going to ask him because I don't understand what the hell he answered me. So I went over to him and I was talking to him about the PK, and it turned out to be one of those Ilya Bryzgalov injuries, you know, interviews, you know, like, well, you know, we shoot the puck and we get the bad break, and that's just how it goes sometimes. That's how it goes. That was pretty much it. I was like, great. That was awesome.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, that was great. Never talk to you again.
All right, since this is going to be our last show before
last show before the new year.
Let's do some Twitter questions just to get these out of the way. Tom Ballantyne says, while I'm waiting for an eventual invite to be on the podcast, LOL, is there a better feared five in the NHL than JT, Bailey, Lee, Eberle, and Barzal right now?
Yeah, I think you can look at the Lightning. I think that the Islanders trio of Tavares, Lee, and Bailey, thanks to Corsica Hockey and our friend Reagan King, is second in the league as a line in production, and that's with 100 less minutes as a unit than the Tampa Bay unit. So I think they're trailing the Tampa Bay unit by 5 goals in 100 less minutes as being the top producing line in hockey. So I think there's some competition there with that Tampa line for sure. But I think they're right up there. I think the Islanders as a team are probably the most fun team to watch in the league, definitely, only for the pure fact that it's guaranteed entertainment every night.
Well, I said it in the podcast.
On both ends.
I said it last week, and it didn't make it out to air, obviously. But earlier in the season, Doug Waite said about Josh Hosang that you're on the edge of your seat both on offense and on defense when he's on the ice.
Yeah,
I feel like that
team.
No matter who's on the ice now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's on the ice. I'm on the edge
team.
Of my seat.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole
game.
Well,
I think that's what he was talking about when he was talking about having his third and fourth lines play a more quote-unquote professional game, a more straightforward, simple game. And that's, I think, why you saw Josh Hosang. You're never going to compare Josh Hosang on a talent level base with Steve Bernier. Let's face it. It's not even in the same galaxy, right? I mean, you're talking about, you know, whatever, Tatooine versus you know, the Star Destroyer base, you know.
Jesus,
you knew I was going to throw a Star Wars reference in there. You know what's funny is that you knew I was going for that, and you let me, like, you really let me sweat that one out.
Oh, I did. So I knew it was coming, and I was like, I'm
I appreciate the secondary assist on that one.
You're welcome.
The way.
They don't count anyway.
But I think that that's the reason for the Bernier call up, was because a more veteran, simple, straightforward game from his bottom two lines, and that he's doing that because his top two lines are so damn offensive that they don't like to play a lick of defense.
Right.
So he's trying to balance it out that way.
And I thought Bernier was just fine the other night against
LA. They're 1-0 with Steve Bernier in the lineup.
Yeah, but, like, silliness aside, I do think he was perfectly fine on that fourth line. He filled a perfectly fine role. Filled the Nikolai Kuhlman role.
Yeah, I think so.
He's less offensively gifted, but Kuhlman only had 3 points through 13 games anyway.
I agree.
So I think he filled that role just fine. I mean, Hosang has played 22 games, averaging around 14 minutes a game, and he's minus 7. I know I don't love the plus-minus stat. Beauvillier is minus 8, so that doesn't say much for him either. But when you have 12 points in those 22 games, averaging 14 minutes of ice time, you can't be minus 7.
Right, right.
And I get it, plus minus isn't a great stat. I think Hosang is in his head. I think he worried too much about stick handling. I think it was in a Doug Weight press conference. He goes south way too often.
Yep.
In a game that should be played very north, especially the way the NHL is being played right now, where the slashing, the clutching, the grabbing is all being called more often, unless you're the Islanders, it seems.
Ooh.
Hosang goes south way too often, where you want to see him going north. And Beauvillier is a guy who goes north but doesn't have the same talent level as Hosang.
Again, Hosang was making too many mistakes in his own zone. He was being too fancy with the puck in his own zone. I said this before in the game against Dallas. He received a suicide pass, did a great job getting out of trouble right inside his own blue line, proceeded to stick handle back to his own faceoff circle, and then with his line out on about a minute and a half, minute and 45 second shift, blindly just slam the puck up the ice off the glass for an icing. It's those kind of plays that were happening repeatedly that came to a head and led to the second demotion of the season for Hosang. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it wasn't surprising, and I'm not going to sit here and say that it wasn't deserving, whether you want to like it or not. So we'll see. He went down to Bridgeport. He ended up in the mid when he got sent down, he was in the middle of a stretch where he ended up playing 4 games in 4 nights. So go down there, play, get some confidence, get some heavy-duty minutes, and try to simplify your game again.
All right, sticking with the Twitter questions here, Tim Tweets at TimTweets27 says, will the Islanders pick up a defenseman or a third goalie first in the near future? I'm going to go with neither.
In the near future, I'm going to go neither as well. At the trade deadline, I think it's very, very early to talk that right now. I think we'd have to wait and give that some time and see a trade market actually develop and see who's available and who's not. So I think it's really premature. But in the near future, I'm gonna say definitely no. What you see is what you get.
And then finally, Thomas Boyle at Thomas Boyle at Thomas B 7645218675. Sorry. Once Belmont is finalized.
Who sang that song? Let's see how old. Who sang that
Tommy
song?
Tommy Two-Tone.
Nice job, bro.
High five, Shane.
Well done. Well done.
Once Belmont is finalized, do you think Tavares will sign right away, or will this drag along? The troll in me hopes that Tavares just waits and waits and waits and waits and waits. The Islander fan in me prays he signs the like literal second Belmont is announced. I hope it's announced with the Tavares re-signing.
I think that when Belmont gets done Wednesday morning, I think that John Tavares' odds of signing with the Islanders, for me, they went all the way down to 65% at current. I think they shoot back up to 90%. So I think it's pretty much a really, really strong signal that he will remain with the Islanders for the duration of his career. I don't think it will be right away, though. I think people will be a little disappointed at that. I don't think it'll happen immediately. I think that money and term is not the issue. I think that'll be settled rather quickly. I think it's all going to be on Tavares to decide when it's less of a distraction. Let's put it that way. He's that straightforward, and he's that professional, and he's that dedicated that it's going to be up to him and Pat Brisson to decide when it's less of a distraction for them, for the team that he signs. If he feels that it makes more sense for him to just sign, get it out of the way, get it over with, and get that certainty moving forward, then that's what they'll do. If they feel that it'll be too much of a distraction and that they want to wait till the summer, that's what they'll do. But I don't think either scenario means that he won't be signing with the Islanders.
Well, right before we wrap it up, I have one question for you.
You have a question for me?
If the Islanders win the Belmont.
You're still saying if?
I'm a pessimist in you. If they win the Belmont bid,
yep.
Will Belmont be required to put an SUV in the corner of the rink?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that's not going to be written into the contract. So Isles SUV will have to probably, I don't know if they'll take their Twitter account down, but it's going to become much less relevant because I got the feeling that Belmont will look a lot more like your traditional hockey rink that you're used to. Let's put it that way. It'll have a nice oval aspirin type shape to it. It'll have good sight lines because I think those things, obviously, if you've learned anything from the couple of years that they're going to spend in Brooklyn, I think John Ledecky and Scott Malkin have learned that sight lines are pretty goddamn important.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the scoreboard will be nicely centered.
We hope.
And I think, you know what would be funny is if they put it over the blue line just for the hell of it.
That would be hilarious.
Well, we wanted to bring a little piece of Brooklyn with us to Belmont, so we put the scoreboard over the blue line. Or like really put it off, like put it in like the defensive zone, like over the creeks or something. Just put it over the fans.
Just put it over the fans so a group of fans can't even see it.
Oh, my God, that'd be fantastic.
Oh my God.
And then when they say, how do we see the scoreboard, say, well, you got to look on your phone.
All right, before we completely alienate the Islanders fan base, let's get out of here for the year. Andy, it's been a pleasure doing this with you again. I'm looking forward to 2018 going strong through the entire year, not just the season. We'll keep it going probably one or two a summer when we get to that point. But for now, we'll keep going usually weekly unless one of us screws up and doesn't get it up in time, that one of us being myself, Shane Blackburn. I apologize. I'll take the hit for that. But Andy, it's been a pleasure. Have a good Christmas. Everyone listening, have a good holiday. Whatever you may celebrate, I hope you enjoy it. Have a happy and safe New Year. Please be careful New Year's Eve into New Year's Day because that is the crappiest time of the year, and I despise that night. So please be safe. Please enjoy it. And until then, I'm Andy. Wow. Until then, I'm Shane. He's Andy.
He's already drinking.
I'm Shane. He's Andy. You need to drink to watch the Islanders, and this is the Secondary Assist Podcast.